3. The town, then, later in the day, and yet another harvest. Grandfather stood on the wide front porch like a captain surveying the vast, unmotioned calms of a season dead ahead. He questioned the wind and the untouchable sky and the lawn on which stood Douglas and Tom to question only him. Grandpa, are they ready? Now? Grandfather pinched his chin.
500, 1,000, 2,000, easy. Yes, yes, a good supply. Pick 'em easy, pick 'em all. A dime for every sack delivered to the press.
Hey! The boys bent, smiling. They picked the golden flowers. The flowers that flooded the world, dripped off lawns onto brick streets, tapped softly at crystal cellar windows, and agitated themselves so that on all sides lay the dazzle and glitter of molten sun.
"Every year," said Grandfather, "they run amok. I let 'em. Pride of lions in the yard. Stare, and they burn a hole in your retina. A common flower. A weed that no one sees, yes. But for us, a noble thing, the dandelion."
So, plucked carefully in sacks, the dandelions were carried below. The cellar dark glowed with their arrival. The wine press stood open, cold. A rush of flowers warmed it. The press replaced, its screw rotated, twirled by Grandfather, squeezed gently on the crop.
There, so.
The golden tide, the essence of this fine fair month, ran, then gushed from the spout below, to be crocked, skimmed of ferment, and bottled in clean ketchup shakers, then ranked in sparkling rows in cellar gloom. Dandelion wine. The words were summer on the tongue. The wine was summer caught and stoppered. And now that Douglas knew, he really knew he was alive, and moved turning through the world to touch and see it all, it was only right and proper that some of his new knowledge, some of this special vintage day, would be sealed away for opening on